but I did identify some other focus areas that I wasn't really thinking about before, but that had a very clear like distribution channel already established. And I started just sort of trying to tap into that. And so my business in that area has grown a ton, a lot more than the business that we had originally been talking about when I was trying to sort of push a single service on people. So another interesting takeaway, just listen to what the market wants, you know?
Hello, everyone. We've got Nico Leon joining us for a Where Are They Now segment. So Nico, welcome back to the show. I'm excited to have you back.
Thanks, Sam. Glad to be here again.
So we always love it when guests are willing to come back on and share some of their experience after they came on Business Therapy and they talk with John and I. And Nico brought on the show when he came and talked to us some of his questions about networking. So I felt like we had a really robust conversation about at least some of our perspective on networking. And Nico, we wanted you to come back on the show to just talk about your experience, if you were able to integrate anything, if you had any experiences that said, oh, that was helpful, that was not helpful. It's really just an open conversation about, you know, what you've experienced since we connected last.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, my main takeaway from our last conversation was that I was thinking about my network in not the best way to think about it. I was sort of thinking of my network just as basically equivalent to all of the contacts in my CRM, let's say, just simplifying it down like that. And my takeaway after our talk was that's not really true. Those are just contacts in a CRM, but your network is the people that you are actually, you feel connected to, you have a connection with, you have shared interests, you know, and therefore you are sort of excited to talk to one another, willing to share ideas, share leads, share business, that sort of thing. So I thought a lot about that takeaway after our call and realized that a lot of these like introduction meetings that I was going into in these different networking groups that I'm in, I needed to genuinely enter that introduction meeting with a new person with like, by caring about who they are and what they do. And if I can't find a way to care and we can't find a way to connect and they can't find a way to care about me, they're not in my network. They may still be a lead in my CRM or something, but they're definitely not in my network. And so I started going into those meetings with that mindset. And, you know, on the one hand, it shrunk my, you know, the people in my network from, you know, if I met with five people, two of them I felt like could actually be in my network, who I liked and we had a good rapport. And then in the meeting itself, I was really not trying to sell them on anything. I was really just caring and trying to understand who they are and making sure they understand who I am. So I'll stop there, but that was kind of my first main takeaway and how I put it into action.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, it sounds like there was actually a perspective shift that you're able to integrate. So I guess my first follow-up question would be, in shifting from more of a mechanical mindset to more of an authentic mindset of caring about the other person and trying to create authentic connection, what was the result? Did you feel like it was helping? Was it actually, I know you said it shrunk your list, but does it, I guess, what is your experience, positive or negative, with how that impacted your behavior?
Definitely positive. Just from you know, the meeting itself, there was no awkwardness of me trying to sell anything at any point in the meeting. So the meeting itself was better. And then honestly, a few times the person I was talking to, because I was interested in them and I cared, they were interested in me and they cared. And they ended up sort of like really pushing me to pitch them on what I was selling. So I ended up actually through that approach, probably having a couple of better pitches than I would have had otherwise.
And then we'll see like a TikTok saying, pretend to care. And then they'll ask you for the pitch, you know, but no, that's not what happened here at all. This was really mindful. How is the energy output? Like in terms of like feeling tired after the exchange or not tired, like How did it feel from an energy level?
I actually thought I was more energized afterwards, which surprised me. But I think it was mainly because there was just no pressure on me. I was putting no pressure on myself going into the meeting. It was just, hey, I'm meeting somebody. Let's see what they're all about and see if we can be friends, you know, put simply. And yeah, so when I would hit it off with somebody, the energy was great afterwards. And if I didn't really hit it off with somebody, again, there was no pressure or expectation on the front end. So it's not like when I didn't hit it off with them, it negatively impacted me. I was kind of able to just move on quickly from it.
Wow. This is an amazing result, because that energy is what makes it sustainable. Because when you're pushing past that drudge of having to speak to people, like, that's not sustainable. So this is great to hear.
Yeah. And I've followed up with a couple of them after that. And, you know, the ones that I had a good connection with, and just, you know, I looked at their LinkedIn profile and tried to see if they had any connections that maybe I would want to pitch. And just reached out and said, hey, no pressure at all, but these five people in your network would be a good fit for what I do. If you know them well and think it would be easy to make a warm intro, that would be awesome. But otherwise, no pressure. And a few of them have made intros. So somehow it ended up working better this way.
Yeah. That's great. That's also a good technique that you just mentioned, lowering the barrier of effort to what someone would need to do to help you. So by going through their network, finding the people and naming it, as opposed to saying, is there anyone in your network who you think, you know,
never works. No, but yeah, not quickly enough. Yeah.
It's too much time. It's too much of an investment. So,
and also what you just touched on there was a theme I remember we discussed about just being more frank about just asking directly for what you need, and not trying to kind of warm somebody into a position where they're offering it or there's some ambiguity. And like you mentioned, you could get a yes, you could get a no. You set up a low pressure situation where you just ask for exactly what you want. And if they're inclined to help you, they'll often help you, or they'll just tell you, no, I won't help you. And often that also kind of combats that energy drain when you're just having these back and forths where you don't really know if it's going to yield the output. Because even if the output of the conversation is a no, to get it quickly is relieving, and then you can kind of keep your energy and go on, which is another theme that I think you're touching on beautifully and sort of how you've been handling it.
Absolutely. Yep. What else do you guys want to know?
That's really the great thing about having you on. There's no expectations on our side. I guess secretly we're hoping you're doing well, and we're not about to get, you know, slapped with, hey, everything you told me was crap and it's not helping at all. So, but I guess we're always kind of bracing for that. But if you have any other criticism or commentary that in practice, oh, I couldn't apply that or it couldn't work, I guess that's the other side of the coin of where are they now? It sounds like you've been very successful, but do you have anything that ended up being not working for you or critical or anything that we could improve on?
Well, I can share some more success, because I'm thinking about another area where it kind of, I made a shift after our conversation. You know, so obviously the one takeaway that I had was what we just talked about. The other takeaway that I had was maybe that I'm selling this offering, maybe that's something I should kind of look at and change. And so I actually ended up pulling back a little bit just from selling what I was selling. And I started to just try to listen for what the market wanted. And the way that I did that was, you know, I was basically just researching, okay, what are sort of ancillary services similar to what I'm offering, but where like an online marketplace already exists, where people are clearly trying to go somewhere to get something, as opposed to me going to them and trying to push something on them. And so I have shifted my business a little bit. I wouldn't really call it a shift. I mean, I'm a consultant. I can kind of go in any direction, you know. But I did identify some other focus areas that I wasn't really thinking about before, but that had a very clear like distribution channel already established. And I started just sort of trying to tap into that. And so my business in that area has grown a ton, a lot more than the business that we had originally been talking about when I was trying to sort of push a single service on people. So another interesting takeaway, just listen to what the market wants, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And I'd love to reflect on that because it's actually been a recurring theme in a lot of the guests that we've had on the podcast, which is this idea that has actually been debunked in a lot of business education, which is the idea of build the thing and people will come. That's kind of something that, you know, many decades ago, that was the mentality, and it's no longer the case. But I think it's more in digital services, or like you said, consulting services, people don't realize they're accidentally, because they're not making a tangible widget, that they're falling into that same trap that you're describing, which is I built the thing and now people should come, or that they will just want the thing that I built. And in that, there's this innate idea that because you conceived it, it's the right thing. And part of this whole idea of networking, of having authentic conversations, what you're describing is just that at a higher level with the whole marketplace, which is to say, I've got this thing I want to do, but it shouldn't ever be a one-sided conversation. Because if you go in realizing that you are flexible, you can be adaptable, and you can create something that is already a warm conversation that exists that you can walk into, and it's not, hey, this is my thing and beat it if you don't want it, then like you said, I think the outcomes are, they speak for themselves. But I do think it's very easy in digital services or intangible services to get caught in that trap you're describing and not even realize it. And your reflection, I think, is very profound in that sense. And the outcomes based on your reflection are equally exciting and impressive.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And the ultimate outcome of that shift ended up being by providing people something that they were clearly looking for, I was able to build up a customer base, call it just more people in my network. And then I was able to sell the original service to those people as well after I had built trust with them, offering them what they wanted. So it's been a great couple months.
Sam, go.
I was just saying, no wonder you agreed to come back on the show. It's like sharing the good tidings. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I have never seen such a mindful transformation like as I'm seeing right now, because the amount of getting out of your head that was done, or how fast you just released everything and being able to make that shift to listening, that's incredible. Like in business, I don't see that kind of mindfulness shift that fast ever. So because we're always thinking of our technique, how do we do this? You know, what we want to say, what we're trying to accomplish, there's no room for anybody else in the conversation. So for you to just let it all go. And I remember on the last, the episode that you were on, Sam said, I release you from feeling this obligation of doing networking the way. And it's almost like that scene in Office Space. I don't know if anyone saw it. You know, he goes to the hypnotist and then suddenly doesn't care, you know? And then suddenly his results are amazing. You know, like that, you know, almost like worked, you know, like, I don't know if it was like a Jedi mind trick or something, we could not have hoped for half the sentences you gave in this episode so far, so let alone just the whole package. So it's really incredible.
Appreciate that. Yeah, we got to give Sam some credit when he splashed the holy water on me, for sure.
I sometimes feel like my flair for the dramatic translates into good outcomes. Sometimes it can be equally bad, but in this case it worked, so I'm glad. It's my cult of personality.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've got. Those are my big updates.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Nico. Like we said, pleasure having you back on the show for a quick update. We love seeing people again, especially when you have such amazing news. And yeah, keep it up. It sounds like soon you're going to be giving your own masterclasses in networking, because I can see that the traction and just the short timeline of how you've converted your energy to build connection and to yield and convert business. Truly impressive. Like I said, now you can go out and also give a great networking advice, which is a great thing to see. So thanks again for coming back on and letting us know.
I appreciate that. Good idea. Thanks, guys.
Yep. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in to Where They Are Now segment. And we'll talk when we see you, either on a next episode or a next clip. So thanks a lot.